shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
A little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
Monday the 2nd of August, and after a hectic round 20 weekend, it's time for another Triple M footy news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy. I've got Tommy here. And Tommy, since our last podcaster, Alistair Clarkson is out. You broke the news on Saturday morning that three games were to be postponed and put onto Sunday. And there's just been heaps going on, really. Let's kick off. What's happening? What's the news?
This morning, I'll start with Gil McLachlan and the Sports Minister, Martin Bakula. They've just spoken down at Amy Park, covering a whole bunch of topics, including Melbourne's proposed redevelopment. I'll get to that shortly. But the big issues, of course, were the crowds and whether we'd get them for the finals and the situation surrounding the grand final in particular. Pakula says it's possible that we'll get crowds back soon. They don't seem to be in any great rush at the minute. He's also confident about the grand final. I said, well, how can you guarantee or get the grand final when it's hard to be competitive with Perth and Adelaide for crowds? He said, well, we've got a contract. Now, my point on having a contract would be the contract's only good if they can deliver on what they promised, which was assumed at the time 100,000 or capacity. Look, there's a good relationship between the Victorian government and the AFL, but I can see a looming problem brewing here. Clearly, I think Adelaide and Perth will be able to offer very competitive crowds, even outdoor functions like the September Club. And I think Victoria is going to have a struggle to host the grand final. Now, there's a lot of work going on in the background. There's a good relationship and we are tracking at low numbers. But the problem the Victorian government's got, Rudy, is that the most recent outbreaks were exacerbated or accentuated by Amy Park and the MCG. So I think it's a pretty delicate situation. Just on the Demons,
yep, go on.
They're going to widen Gosh's Paddock, which sounds strange because Collingwood used to train there all the time, but Gosh's Paddock is smaller than the MCG and Marvel. So they're going to widen that. But it's all with a view to having new headquarters in the future at Amy Park for Melbourne, which I think the idea would be as part of a master plan would be a redeveloped Amy Park, and you'd integrate those facilities in a dedicated building, like, for example, with the Storm and the Rebels, and basically upgrade the whole facility. That needs a truckload of money, and that's why Martin Pakula was down there this morning doing the big photo opportunity, kicking the ball, making the state government look like they're very supportive of footy in crowds, because at some point they're going to have to go to Martin and say, Martin, cough up the cash for the new facility. So that was part of what happened this morning, I think.
Do you have any insight on when we might get crowds back?
Yeah, I think obviously not this weekend coming because the AFL and the state government have clearly said that's not an option at this stage. This is the state government's decision. The following weekend, I think we might get some semblance of crowds, but there was no indication on the date today. I know the AFL's not worried about crowds at the moment. What they're worried about is getting these games on because the cost of not having them on is far greater than the cost of, you know, missing out on games and crowds and all the rest of it. So it's very important these games are on with no crowds. The AFL focused on crowds, hopefully, for the finals.
Right. Let's move on to some on-field matters. Gold Coast yesterday firmly in the agenda. A 98-point loss to Melbourne, one goal after quarter time. Messy for them. Tommy, what's going on there?
Very messy. Now, Mark Evans, the CEO, was in the Gold Coast box yesterday. That usually doesn't bode well for a coach when the CEO is watching on in the box. Having said that, it is COVID. They've come down from Queensland, so Mark had to sit somewhere. He also does sometimes perform a game day role, Mark. He used to at Hawthorn. I think he used to carry the magnets board at one point as the footy manager. He's quite interested in all that type of stuff. But the broad issue is now what the AFL do with the Suns. Another shocking loss yesterday. There's huge variability in their performance. I think eventually they'll replace the football manager. There's some talk about Wayne Campbell, but I'm not getting any latest indications on that from the club. The AFL at this stage, I asked Gil about this morning, saying they won't intervene. They're not sending anyone up there. They're not sending up a younger Gil. Remember, Gil used to go around sort of fixing things when he was young before he was the CEO. They're not doing anything like that at the moment. They're entrusting it to Mark Evans. I'm trying to speak to Mark this afternoon, but the big issue, obviously, is Stuart Dew. He's under tremendous pressure, and there's an industry view from sources that the Suns now obligated to chase hard for Alistair Clarkson. How will they do that? Well, one, Clarkson's got a relationship with Mark Evans. They had spectacular success together at Hawthorn. And two, there's a view the AFL could put together a huge, huge offer as part of an ambassador role for AFL Queensland and a coaching role at the Suns where Clarkson could get paid $1.5 or even $2 million a year. And perhaps the AFL would approve some of that being outside the soft cap. Look, there are issues for down the track, but it's hard to think at the moment the AFL wouldn't at least be sounding out the prospect of at some point Clarko going there maybe as a coaching boss next year and becoming coach, or beyond next year becoming coach. Clarko's put on record. He's got a son during year 12, I think, in Victoria next year. He said that. So it's unlikely he would go into state. But clearly in the background, the Gold Coast Suns desperately need someone like Clarko, and the AFL would be absolutely aware of that.
Yeah, as you flagged last week, the coaching market changed significantly by that announcement. Now, let's stick with Hawthorn for a minute there, Tommy. Jeff Kennett, is he under pressure to follow Clarko out the door?
He's under a degree of pressure because Jeff Kennett's been a vocal advocate of clubs not wasting money. He's also been a vocal advocate of the importance of the soft cap and I guess clubs following that. Hawthorn is going to have to pay out Clarkson $900,000. They can do that over 2 years. And they've, I think, got some favourable, not favourable compared to North Melbourne and Fremantle, but they've got some reasonable treatment of that under the soft cap. The broad question is whether Jeff would stand down. He's not the type. He just sees this as a bit of a water off a duck's back, I think, Rudy. The other question is whether anyone would step up to challenge Jeff. There's certainly no sign of that at the moment. He did write to members early last week rubbishing Caroline Wilson's report. And I read that out in the press conference, what Jeff said to members on Friday. And Jeff said, well, that was right 2 or 3 days ago. So, look, there was some miscommunication in all this. But I think in all fairness, Hawthorn, this is my view, Rudy, got to the point in the end they wanted to, which was Sam Mitchell coaching and Alistair Clarkson gone. Now, you can debate the reasons for that. I think one of them was they did Clarko's contract before the soft cap was reduced pre-COVID. And what you're seeing now is that clubs can't easily pay coaches $1.1 or $1.2 million a year. So I said on this podcast earlier in the year, they wanted to clear Clarko's money. They got there in the end, but boy, it was messy. And Kennett will clearly be hoping now another club comes along and takes Clarko and takes some of that money, which Hawthorn owe him, off the table. I don't think Hawthorn would get full relief on the $900,000, but they'd get some relief. But I reckon Jeff is just water off a duck's back. He'll just wait for this to calm down. They've got Mitchell. They've got to move on and focus on recruiting. It was just very, very messy, Rudy. And having said all that, when Jeff did come back to the club and replace the president, saying that the handling of Tracy Gaudry's appointment, who was the CEO at the time, was basically chaotic, Jeff's handling of the Clarko situation over the last 2 months or so has made that look like a minor traffic infringement. So I reckon it's true. But I like Jeff, and I'm sure he'll just keep bowling along and doing his best to help out Hawthorn.
We'll move off Hawthorn for the time being. Tommy, you've got some new injury news.
Yes, some new injury news this morning. Dyson Heppel's had a scan at Amy Park. He's got concern with his other hand. It was an X-ray, so he's waiting on the results of that. Hopefully, for his sake, he can take on the Bulldogs in a hugely important clash. Heppel's been in good form too. He's sort of racking up numbers again, which is great for Dyson. It's not his ankle, which is good news. It's a hand injury. It's the other hand. So we'll get some more news on that this afternoon. Phil Davis had a concussion last night. I think that'll rule him out for 12 days for the Giants, which is bad timing. Because I think they've got two Friday night games coming up, which means he will miss two games. And if he plays the third week, that could be his final game if they don't make the finals. So a difficult one for Phil Davis. And just an update for Saints fans this morning on Hunter Clark. Suffered a concussion on Friday night. Now, there was concern because he was coming back from that jaw, which I think has got two plates in it, and he needed reasonably extensive surgery on, which he broke about 6 or 8 weeks ago. The good news, I'm told, is it's only a concussion and his jaw hasn't been affected.
That's very good news there. He's had a tough year with injuries. Poor
terrible, terrible year.
Yeah. All right, let's shift focus to Carlton, Tommy. Now, they're likely to be quite active in the trade space this offseason.
I think the Blues are definitely still targeting Chera from Fremantle, who wants, I think, out of Fremantle. He hasn't confirmed that yet, but I think you'll find he does. Also, George Hewitt from the Swans. It means the Blues will have to clear some salary space. The names that are coming up, and I emphasise there's still a way to go on all this, so it just depends on what happens. But the names that are being mentioned to be are Petrevsky, Seaton, Dow, who I know has been in reasonable form the last 5 or 6 weeks. He's had a good run of form. And Jack Sulvani. Dow and Sulvani have offers to stay next year. But my information is those offers at the moment aren't as attractive as perhaps what they're worth or what some other clubs might see them. So I think those names will be discussed in the trade period. And Jack Sulvani's been in good form. So I wouldn't be surprised if some clubs come after him or at least sound him out, as they will Dow. So that's going to be a discussion point certainly in the next, 6 to 10 weeks, Rudy.
All right, let's just keep our eye on Carlton to finish off here. Tommy, what is going on there with their review?
I keep getting told from Carlton sources the review is still 2 or 3 weeks away from being finalised and announced. What Carlton seem to be doing, Rudy, is trying to put through a whole bunch of constitutional changes in a meeting on about the 17th of August. And I think after that, and when Mark Lagutisce finishes the president, they will announce the changes of this football review. So there's a lot of sort of ducks and drakes going on at Carlton at the moment. I should add further to those changes to the constitution, Mick Warner wrote about those with a guy called Vince Losciano over the weekend. I've spoken to Vince. He's a very passionate Carlton supporter, and he's got some concerns that the members are being a bit hoodwinked by the board who want to stay in power. My only point on that, Rudy, would be a lot of the changes Carlton's proposing would really bring them in line with other clubs. And it's also hard at the moment for clubs to find really top directors and top presidents. Luke Sayers has done a good stint on the board, and to get directors to become president, I think he needs a bit of extra guaranteed time. And that's the reason they want to put through those amendments. I've looked at those with my lawyer goggles on, Rudy, which I know some people on Twitter will laugh about, but I think they're pretty reasonable amendments.
Fair enough. I think we can just about leave that there, Tommy, unless you've got anything else.
Yeah, interesting one. Yesterday, the Bombers, they ran out of rotations with 7 or 8 minutes left. I'll chase that one up for the news tonight. It didn't help because they ended up losing in about 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, it was strange to see down on the bench. You know, it was Sheil and I think Tip and Woody couldn't get back on the park. And you realise, well, hang on, they've actually just run out of rotation.
You don't see
completely
that very though. Often.
They lost by 7 points, you're right.
Yeah,
you really don't see that too often. So, odd one there. But, again, we'll leave that there, I think, Tommy. And we'll be back on Wednesday with another edition of the Triple M Footy News Update. Thanks, mate.
Can't wait.